the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Episode 80 of Rant and Wrestling Podcast. You know who this is. This is Booty KD, aka your boy, holding it down for 80 episodes straight. Another person that had 80 episodes straight. He's the Twin of Worlds champion. He is the Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I survived Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm completely sober today, though.
We went to Mofo Magic Humble Abode and featuring Dog, and his wife was there too. It was a lot of fun. We went over there to watch the Ring of Honor pay-per-view All-Star Extravaganza 7. I remember it, just a little bit of it. Doomsday, you were drunk.
Yeah.
And I purposely told him, I was like, while we were doing the preview, before the show started, I was like, Tuesday, drink 10 beers before the show starts. And what about, like, it started at 9, and I think you were at your ninth beer at, like, 8:57?
Yeah, I was at my ninth beer at 8:57, and then, like, I only had 3 minutes to chug the 10th one, and I made it. I did it. So I got the 10 in an hour. And then I only drank 2 more beers after that for the rest of the show. But by then I was already too drunk to even pay attention to a whole bunch of shit that happened.
Mm. And what was you drinking?
It was Miller Lite. So, yeah, it was definitely Miller time. It was definitely Miller.
Definitely Miller time. And, like, when you were saying you were drunk, I didn't notice if you were drunk. It just seemed like you're just the same. I don't know if I'm just not catching on, because, you know, with DeVar, same thing. He would say he's drunk, and I'd be like, you are? You know, but, yeah, it's like you never watched a match, or you saw the ending of every match.
Yeah, basically. Like, I think, oh, shit. I think the only thing I remember vividly was eating quesadillas and...
Pizza quesadillas, really good.
Yeah, those are fantastic. Shout out to Mofo's wife. I believe I pissed on their floor in the bathroom. That's the only other thing I remember.
And you spilled a beer.
Did I? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, wait, what happened with the milk?
The what?
Remember there was when we got the groceries from our car? And then they was like, yeah. You had the milk inside the bag, but you didn't put the milk in the refrigerator, and it wound up just staying out there?
Nah, that wasn't me.
That's what you said, and I think we found out it was you. But, back to the show, because that's what happened, that was the reason why we went there. You don't know much of what happened, but I saw every match. We don't have to talk about every match, we can just talk about the important things. Starting off with the television championship, Jay Lethal against Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish, unfortunately, came up short. Thanks to a roll-up holding the tights, Jay Lethal still
you.
Television champion. But you said, hey, he came out first doing a television title. Hey, he might win.
No, no.
Yes, you did. You were drunk. I remember.
I don't remember that.
But Jay Lethal won. He defended his title clean, I guess. Silas Young did win, so he gets the boys, making them into real men. Sad day for Dalton Castle.
He got one boy. He got one boy, though.
I thought he had both.
I thought he only had one boy.
I think you wanted them to get one, so they could see how it would turn. He got both.
No, I thought the stipulation was one boy.
Let me see. The stipulation of Dalton Castle wins, Silas Young becomes one of the boys. If Silas wins, he gets the boys.
Whoa. Oh, shit. Damn.
Yes. So So he get
the boy. It honestly should have been one boy. It honestly should have been one boy.
Yeah. Now, for the tag team match with Jay and Mark Briscoe, it was an open challenge, and the first people that came out was the Decade. And we were like, okay, that's disappointing.
Hell.
But it turns out that Adam Page had a sling on his arm, and BJ Whitmer was still hurt. So we was like, okay, who's coming out? Romantic Touch. And we're like, okay. I call Romantic Touch and Cheeseburger teaming out, getting beat up, and then bringing out a real tag team. Almost happened that way, but
yo,
Cheeseburger didn't come in.
When I saw that Romantic Touch, I was like, that's not the real Romantic Touch.
Yeah.
I knew that from jump. I was like,
when you brought it up, I looked and I was like, well, Red Titus never wore kick pads before. This is a new guy. That's not Red Titus. You could tell by, you know, how his face is.
Yeah, because the only Romantic Touch that wore kick pads was when Matt Taven posed as Romantic Touch a while back. I definitely remember that one.
Right. Yeah. So it found out that wasn't Romantic Touch. They beat a Romantic Touch really bad, threw him out the ring, and then all of a sudden, the return of the former Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, Kenny King and Rhett Titus, the All Night Express. They came back. How did they get King back? I don't know, because I thought they wasn't on good terms because he left while being a tag team champion to go straight to TNA.
I mean, the name recognition, man, like, He kind of did his thing in TNA, man. So that they were like, all right, I guess since he kind of made him name for himself, sort of, so to speak, over there, might as well use his name recognition to get a little bit of shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really surprised that they like forgive and forgot. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, this is gonna be interesting. It's gonna be cool. So I really loved All Night Express before. Things went south, and he peaced out years ago.
So now they are back. The All Night Express did defeat Jay and Mark Briscoe, and they're going to be looking forward to facing whoever holds the tag team titles. No disqualification match. Moose defeated Cedric Alexander.
Yes.
And it was a pretty wild and crazy match. A lot of people got hurt. Stokely Hathaway got his shit in. Cedric got speared through a table and all that jazz. Moose, who was very over down there in Texas, he won the match. You got any thoughts for your client getting the victory?
So they love that football. So,
oh, hell yeah.
To see a football player be a good-ass wrestler, and they're going to go for that shit. But, yeah, it was cool, man. I'm happy Moose won. I predicted it because, like, him taking three losses in a row would kind of be OD at this point. You know what I'm saying? Especially him coming off of an undefeated streak to keep losing. But, definitely it's going to be interesting going forward because I don't know if that feud's going to, like, really going to keep going or they're going to look different ways. But, Cedric and Moose definitely worked together well. It was really cool. I liked how Veda Scott and Stokely got their shit in the match.
Right. Yeah. And the next match was the Best of Five Series, match 3. ACH defeated Matt Sydal to take the lead 2-1. And I think they had another match the next night. And it was just a match. It's pretty stellar. It was just a match. ACH won. Good pop in the crowd because he is from Texas. The Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship match. The Kingdom defeated the Addiction and the Young Bucks for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships. A KRD guy with the mask on came out and thought it was going to help out Kazarian and Daniels. It didn't. They interfered and cost them the tag team belts. And they're thinking it's Saban because he did the one of Saban's little finishing moves.
Yeah.
But we don't know who it is or who it could be. We just know that the Addiction are no longer tag team champions, and the Kingdoms, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, they are the new tag team champions. Do you have a problem with this? Is this cool in your book?
The Kingdom sucks, personally. I'm not even a fan. I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all. I've never been, like, a big fan of them individually, like Taven and Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And them just teaming together is still kind of bland anyway.
Well, they could draw some heat since everybody doesn't really like them that much anyway. Yeah. You know, and of course the Young Bucks are like the main favorite. You know, and I thought the Addiction was going to like slide out of this. I thought they was going to find a way to get out of this match. And they didn't. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Let's see. The next up, number one contenders for the Ring of Honor World Championship, AJ Styles. He was the victor. He is number one contender, defeating Roderick Strong, Michael Elgin, and Adam Cole, baby.
Yep.
That was actually a really, really fun match. I think that was my favorite match of the night, honestly. These four guys, they didn't mess up. Elgin was over. As a face, I believe.
It's a miracle.
And, I didn't think it would ever happen again.
Because dude came back from Japan, and, like, the response has just been, like, lukewarm for him for, like, a good month or two.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, I guess people are starting to finally warm up. Or it's probably just that crowd, but I hope it's good. I hope it keeps going for him.
Yeah. And, like we said, the logical would be AJ Styles.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong already have it. Now, spoiler, because it's on the television taping, Roderick Strong wanted to get another title shot against Jay Lethal, and he's like, dude, you already have a title shot against him twice and you lost, but you can become number one contender for the television title. So maybe Jay Lethal might drop the belt to Roderick Strong, or he could just keep the belt and keep the train chugging along.
He's running, baby.
Keep it running. So, Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal, it will happen again, just for a different title belt. And Roderick Strong is a former television champion anyway. Next is for the Ring of Honor World Championship. The winner will basically face AJ Styles in the upcoming future. I was pulling for O'Reilly because that's my client. Unfortunately for him, he lost to Jay Lethal.
Yep. He's the
first guy, to my knowledge, to defend two of his own titles and successfully defend them. In the same night, Jay Lethal still world champion, and all thanks to Adam Cole, baby, who was a face.
For I was like, come on.
For what?
What? He was only like a face for like a few weeks.
Yeah, he was a face for like a month, you know, and he joined back with Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. So the Kingdom is still running wild. Kyle O'Reilly is pissed. And I'm pretty sure
it's funny that you mention Adam Cole as soon as I get back on the call.
Oh, great.
As soon as I get on the call, the name I first heard when I came in was Adam Cole, baby. The original Mofo Magic client.
This is Mofo Magic, ladies and gentlemen. Say hi to him. I'm Mofo Magic.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. And as always, you're welcome.
And would you have any thoughts on the World Championship match with Jay Lethal and Kyle O'Reilly and what Adam Cole did that scumbag?
I thought Adam Cole, I was kind of confused. I did read something somebody said, and I kind of agree with this. I'm going to agree with their sentiment. If TNA or WWE did this, we'd ring them a new one. So I don't think Ring of Honor should be able to get away with it. Lot of WCW Monday Nitro circa 1998 interference in the match. So, I mean, that was just ridiculous. You had, what was it?
Dijak.
Fish came out, then Cole comes out, then he super kicks O'Reilly Auto Parts, and, it's just,
throughout Truth Martini. You get rid of Martini to bring in everyone else.
Yeah, and the thing is that, where's Nigel doing this? Like, Nigel's just in the back, like, I've done my job.
He's
I can't stand for this interference, but I'm going to watch four guys interfere right in front of me.
Right? Inconsistency. So,
exactly. Impeach him.
Oh, wait. Impeach No. He wasn't there. He was the one who took out Truth Martini.
Yeah.
So he was gone. He never came back, I don't believe.
So he was in the back. He never saw Donovan Dijak run by him?
Must have took somewhere. He must have took him to a dark area where no one knew where they were going. I don't know. He never came back out.
Why is Donovan running to the bloody ring?
I don't know.
Yeah, but the world title match, it was a good match. I mean, I think that going in, I think only one person believed Kyle O'Reilly was going to win, and it's just it kind of sort of fed off as anticlimactic, but, you know, it was okay. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
I mean, how else was a guy going to defend his title in the same night without shenanigans?
Well, here's the problem is that they can't do this every single event, can they? Because
can they just defend one title on the event? You don't have to defend both.
I mean, I guess on the house shows, they only have to defend one. They don't have to defend both.
Right.
It makes it better. But, like, Final Battle, and have that end in a...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be gone by then.
Hopefully. I mean, I now see why they don't book double champion. But the flipping, it feels like you're in a damn box, which you can book. Like, you have a box, and you cannot leave that box, especially when the double champion's a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. So, tough being a Ring of Honor booker, man. Not easy.
Drives you delirious.
Yeah, it's not easy at all. But that was All-Star Extravaganza. Unless you, Mofo, had any inputs on the other matches that happened, because we talked about
AJ won. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what with that. Yeah, I mean, what do you do? Do you give AJ the title? Do you have him lose? Do you have him lose by disqualification or win by disqualification?
Right.
New tag team champs.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on the new tag team champions? The Kingdom.
Hold on, I'm gonna be a dad for a second.
Yeah, I gotta be a dad. Dude, they don't have no children, man.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, well.
Tag team champs, you know what? They have made it known that they are fans of the Kingdom. And the Kingdom just signing their brand new Mofo Magic client checks this weekend.
Wow.
Welcome to the Stable Boys. I'm surprised they got rid of the Addiction, the title of the Addiction is fast.
Fast?
What was that, 4 months?
Yeah. Man, long enough. What were they doing? No.
Well, here's the other thing. And not to mess up the spoilers or anything, but the Kingdom's then gonna apparently feud with fucking Red Dragon. So, Red Dragon's back in the tag title hunt?
I guess so.
So angry.
Probably for right now, because I'm pretty sure O'Reilly's going to face Adam Cole somewhere, like later in the future, somewhere. So, I mean, it's a tag match. They can easily do singles if they want.
That's the same thing. Jay Lethal. When Jay Lethal beats you, your ass better fight a tag team partner.
Well, hey, that's who survives the Jay Lethal feud? It's not like John Cena. It's completely.
Hanson lost the TV title match. Went back to the Raymond Rowe.
Yeah, Watanabe lost his television title match.
Yeah,
he's going back to going under the damn table until he comes back out next year at War of the Worlds Part 3. That's the next time we're gonna see him, right? You know, so that's the next time we're gonna see him. Is next week? I mean, next year.
CM Punk.
Oh, your thoughts on All Night Express returning?
I love it. I'm a huge All Night Express mark. So I am 100% behind them getting a title shot or them getting the titles back. I actually love All Night Express. And it was a really good surprise because kind of like Chris Sabin. Only difference is how many people actually knew Kenny King was not under contract anymore?
I had no idea.
Me neither. I had no idea.
I just assumed they didn't have anything for him since the whole MVP thing happened. I was like, they just don't have anything for him.
That whole stable fell apart, dude.
and it made sense. I mean, it was just like, okay, like, they put all these eggs in this basket. He was supposed to get this big push. Because he's what now? Two-time X Division champion?
Something.
And,
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was X Division champion. I don't know how many times, though.
Yeah, but he got a pretty big push in TNA.
Yeah.
And then they put him in this new group, and he was kind of like, he's pushed almost like a Tully Blanchard almost. Like, he was pretty big in the fucking group. Like, Like, he wasn't like a Buff Bagwell or anything. And he got pushed in this group, and then, you know, MVP decided to say the word nigga on TV. And then Hernandez decided to not tell people that he was actually signed to a contract. So MVP left and was like, okay, that's how that all happened. And then next thing you know, Kenny King just doesn't show up, and you're like, okay, well, it's TNA. He'll show up at some point. And then next thing you fucking know, he's on pay-per-view for ROH. So I'm really happy that they're back. Brett Titus.
Yeah, got him out of the romantic touch game. And yeah, I guess that's done.
Obviously, it wasn't him the whole time.
Yeah, it wasn't him. Yeah, we talked
about it. It's like Hulk Hogan was never Mr. America. Everybody knows that.
That's it for the All-Star Extravaganza. Next, I believe, is Night of Champions that happened on Sunday for the WWE. The matches here, the Cosmic Wasteland did defeat Neville and the Lucha Dragons, like, I believe Doomsday said.
Yep.
And the first match, which was not long, Kevin Owens, Mr. Entertainment, defeated the Ryback to become the Intercontinental Cursed Champion of the WWE. And I'm for it, not minding it at all. I just hope he's not cursed. Because I would like to see him go. You guys got any thoughts
on that? The prize fighter who finally got a prize.
Finally. He had a prize when he got there.
I mean, but it was an NXT prize, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't that part of his interview? That's what he said? I mean, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And now he got another belt. He stays with the championship, like John Cena.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a prize fighter, and I don't have a prize yet. I'm going to go get a prize.
He doesn't have a prize in this one. This is his Intercontinental Championship. You guys got me. Did y'all see the show at all?
Yeah.
You didn't. No, you didn't.
I did not watch a minute of Night of Champions.
Okay. Really?
I read the results. I read the results really quickly. I saw a couple on WWE.com. From what I heard, it was passable. The thing is, at this point, I'm going to go a little bit – I'm going to channel Rob's energy here for a second. Honestly, at this point, I really wish people would stop saying that, oh, hey, it's a bad show. They put out bad shows. They put – even back in the hey fucking day, they put out 6 bad shows a year. And bad pay-per-views aren't the normal. It's very hard to have 10 – it's very hard to have 8, 9 great shows in a row, no matter what company you are. It's very hard to do that. Things don't click right. People get hurt. It's very hard to do that. So, I mean, I take it for what it was. It was just a pay-per-view that gives them revenue. That's pretty much it. That's all Night of Champions has been for the past 5 years. Ever since they got rid of the whole Night of Champions and there's only been, like, 2 titles defended on it, it's a pretty shit pay-per-view.
All right. Did y'all got any thoughts on the Kevin Owens Ryback match or Kevin Owens winning the Intercontinental Championship?
The match served its purpose. I liked how, Kevin Owens, I think it's some theme, like, they had with it, especially with, Nikki Bella. The heels working limbs and shit like that. It was really cool, seeing him, like, go after, like, really, really go after, Ryback's arm and shoulder and shit like that. It was, cool. Yeah. And have him win via I-Rake and the
roll up.
That was really cool.
He ain't getting that big fucking vampire bones.
It works.
You know, yeah. Oh yeah, it definitely works. Mofo, you got thoughts on it? Mr. Entertainment becoming the Intercontinental Champion. Or how long is it gonna have it?
How long is it gonna have it? Probably 3 to 6 months. I mean, that's how long most of the champions have had it. I think that they don't really know what they want to do with the Intercontinental title. The plan was Daniel Bryan, and that just blew up in their face, and they're now just kind of trading it around to see what fits. But to answer your second question, I mean, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, Ryback, I like Ryback. It's just the Intercontinental title was the workers' title, and I think it's still got that stigma to it. So a lot of people don't understand that. If you're going to be Intercontinental champion, the best worker doesn't always get the title. It's just going to be another belt in WWE. And it kind of makes things really hard to grasp a hold of for a lot of people. And they can't get over that that whole, well, it's a worker site, it's not anymore. So I just hope that he has a couple wars and everything. I'd like to see Kevin Owens kind of channel that inner Kevin scene with the hardcore matches and stuff and brutality. But, you know, who knows? I hope that whatever happens, they figure it out and they actually book him pretty well, which, knowing their history, they won't.
Yeah, I know, right?
Tell you, man, he's a fucking leg injury away from being a lumberjack.
Right. Still you not want him to be that sure. Lumberjack so bad.
I'm still not 100% sure that if I was in a meeting with Vince McMahon and I told somebody that, and I told him, hey, that's the idea I have, that he wouldn't go, God damn it, you're right.
Yeah, man.
I'm not 100% sure that he would actually shut that down.
Next match they have here, Dolph Ziggler, my client, defeating Rusev Machka via shoe. Because Summer Rae threw a shoe right at that man's face. Zigzag 1-2-3. Is this feud over, guys? Yay or nay?
According to Raw, apparently not, I guess.
God damn it. Okay, fine. Nothing else really happened in this match. It was just a match.
Yeah, man, like, I didn't even pay attention to this shit. I tuned out, and then, like, when I turned around, the match was over, so it was all good.
Right.
That's so bad, because they're two good workers. Like, I love Rusev.
Yeah.
Rusev is my dude.
What messes it up is the feud that they're in.
Yeah, Rusev's my Machka.
Yeah, that just messes it up. Next is the Tag Team Championship, the Dudley Boys. Defeated the New Day via disqualification. Xavier Woods came out there and stopped everything, talking about save the tables, but they brought out a table themselves. And Xavier Woods went through it and started shaking like Devon. You know how Devon always looks like having like these moves. Xavier Woods with his red,
having a seizure,
streaks in his hair.
He was that Rufio. That Rufi.
Yeah. The New Day are still tag team champions. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, the Dudley Boys are going to chapter chase. That's the plan for me. No problem with the New Day still being tag team champions. Dudley Boys can win via disqualification. You guys got any thoughts on the tag team match?
As long as the New Day can keep the titles, I'm happy. As long as they keep the titles.
Oh, right. As long as they keep the belt. Speaking of keeping the belts. The Divas Championship. Nikki Bella, who has been the champion since Survivor Series, fallen defeat by Charlotte. And yes, we get it. It is Ric Flair's daughter. Charlotte is the new Divas Champion, and people already expected it to happen. For me, I just wish Charlotte got maybe a little bit more offense in, because Nikki controlled the entire match, working the leg.
Which she should have.
Which is fine. But Charlotte did, like, two moves. Spear, figure eight, game over.
Game over.
That was it. And that match went on for almost 15 minutes. And, I mean, yeah, she can work the leg, fine. Not a problem. I think someone pointed out she was working the wrong leg at a time. But it's okay. Charlotte did win. She overcame that odd, I guess. And she's the new Divas Champion. You guys got any thoughts on this? Divas Revolution.
I mean, this finally kind of shakes up shit a bit with this whole quote-unquote revolution. yeah, we'll see what goes down afterwards. I guess we'll go over Raw.
Oh yeah.
Later. So, but yeah, I thought the match was pretty good. Despite Nikki basically working most of it herself.
All of it.
You know? Yeah, basically all of it.
All of it.
Which was good, because it showcased how good she actually is, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah. Charlotte had a nice little acting, you know, it's like, oh, my leg, it feels painful, I'm shaking the leg off, it's fucking painful.
Yeah.
She tried.
Yeah, they both did their thing, but Nikki definitely shined in it. I really thought that it was a good showing on her part. But yeah, that's all I gotta say. But yeah, we'll see.
Do you care about the Divas Division now that Charlotte is champ?
I care now that there's going to be a different scenario going forward. Cause now it's gonna be like, oh, who's next after Nikki, like, gets a rematch and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah, we'll go over Raw, and we'll talk a little more through that. But, yeah, it's something I still kind of care about, you know?
Okay, that's fine. Mofo, you got any thoughts on your client being defeated for the Divas Championship?
We actually are putting in an injunction already.
We got your rematch.
That happened on Sunday night with this flukish victory by this this never wasn't of Charlotte, whatever.
Ric Flair's daughter.
Ric Flair's kid. Yeah, Ric Flair's kid. Ugh. The fact that they took the title off of a Divas champion who has been champion for over the record-breaking, the greatest Divas champion of all time. You know what? At this point, just not worth talking about it. Move on.
Next match they have is the six-man tag, the Wyatt family of Bray Wyatt, the Luke Harpers, and Braun Strowman going up against Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and it was a fan at first who I really thought was Drake Younger for all of 2 seconds. And they actually escorted him out the building. Fans are starting to get to the ring quite easier now than it was back in the day. Like, they can have a full match if they want to before getting thrown out of the building. But yeah. And their tag team partner for Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose was one Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho returned. He tried to get shit in, wound up costing Reigns and Ambrose the match. The winners are the Wyatt family. Mofo, I'm sorry, Chris Jericho was the third man in. I didn't put it to him. I didn't want it, but hey, it's Jericho.
What did we say on last week? There's only a couple people we don't want it to be. Chris Jericho's name came up.
Definitely did. Definitely did. That was like
and what the hell was Corey Graves smoking? I'm sure that Vince McMahon had a little talk with him in the back when he said it was going to be Samoa Joe.
Hey, man. People want it. Hey, I'd rather took that Jericho.
Hell
yeah.
Sick return.
You knew what Graves was doing. You knew Vince McMahon went up there and said, hey, Corey, tell him this is going to be Samoa Joe. Tell him, damn it.
Tell him anybody.
Corey's like, I don't care. Corey's like, look, Vince, I don't think that's a good idea. The internet, tell him.
You know, my hot like about this is with Rat and wrestling. Can't you still got it for Chris Jericho if you already chanted that shit 4 to 5 times this year?
My daughter didn't tell you what's going about Chris Jericho being in the match.
Jericho didn't go anywhere. Jericho was there, what, the 4th of July show? And he was at the that was in June. And then you guys still chant, he still got to me.
You gotta understand that every wrestling show has a dude like Terry at Ring of Honor. And you gotta keep in mind that the more fans in the building, the more fans that are gonna be like that guy. So as opposed to one in the arena, you're probably gonna have one effect. And when they all get together, and then you have the kids who wanna be involved, that's where you hear the chant. Because, hey, I started the chant.
Never really went anywhere. In a year before that, you know, Jericho really hasn't gone anywhere. And then, after the match, he shrugged off Dean Ambrose, and I thought they was going to beat him up then, but they just let him walk, and it reminded everybody of the Chris Jericho, you know, of old, when he was, like, super serious Chris Jericho. You know, but maybe he might start a program with Ambrose. I don't know. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on this tag team match and Chris Jericho returning?
Of course, before that, there's the whole fan jumping in deal or whatever. Apparently, WWE's cracking down a lot harder now that all these incidents have happened in the past few months.
There's too many this month.
It's been all ex-Shield members. That's the irony of it.
They gotta let that go, man. Shield is gone.
Wild, but like, so now, people are going to get not only where they get banned by the WWE. They're also going to be sent to jail. So the guy who got arrested, I forgot the name, I forgot the name of dude. He ended up getting arrested, and he will spend 10 days in jail. So
man, that was on a plea deal because he was going to defend.
Yeah, and that's on a plea. He would have spent a lot more time.
They were saying up to 6 months.
Yeah, he would have spent a lot more time if he pled not guilty, which would be really stupid on his part.
Like, how do you exactly tell somebody that in jail? Like, how are you how do you have that conversation with someone? Hey, man, what you went here for? I was at a wrestling show, hopped the rail. All right, you beat anybody up? No. I just hopped it
and went in the ring. To do nothing. To get caught. I think that, wrestlers should be like, dude, crack down on this, cause what if he's not a Shield fan? What if he hates me so much that he's trying to kill me? You know, it's possible that could happen. And then they're gonna look at the security like, dude, do your job. Almost died. Legit. And you know wrestling's fake and shit. That's fucking real. Crazy people are out here. Every day. So, crack down on that shit, people. Please. I don't want nobody getting hurt. But dude, they go ahead. I don't know if you were...
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but the match itself, the match was all right. I honestly didn't see the point in having, Jericho there. Come Raw, he didn't show up then. So, there was absolutely no reason for him to, be in the match. I honestly thought that there probably would be something going on with the whole blowing Dean and Roman off after he cost them the match and whatnot. It was serviceable, I guess. there really wasn't too much to say about really this wasn't. Match.
This feud is not over, even though they've been feuding for the whole summer, I believe.
And the funny thing, one thing that was funny though is that people who kept yelling, kept chanting, "You still got it!" Like, bitch, he was just at the Beast in the East tour or event, like how many months ago, facing Neville. Like, how are you gonna act like you haven't seen him? That dude pops up every time, and it's acting like, and people always treat it as like some type of return.
And he was doing house shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Just normal ass house shows. He was there for that, you know? He's not going anywhere. He's never really stayed away. Only time he legit stayed away was it was when Jericho really returned. I believe he returned, 2007, 2008?
I think so. It was definitely after he got fired when
Bischoff fired him and he came back.
Bischoff fired him for losing to Cena, yeah.
Yeah, and he did the whole save us gimmick.
Yeah, he came back with the save us.
That was a return.
That's dope. That was a dope return.
That was a return.
And then he turned heel not too long after that, which was a great heel run, by the way. But yeah, after that, I haven't really cared about him since then. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, next up is the United States Championship. Champion Seth Rollins going up against John Felix Cena. And to my knowledge, I didn't watch the pre-show, but it was like Seth Rollins is going to defend his title back-to-back. And because I was thinking he was going to open the show like how Jay Lethal did when he defended his title. I thought that was going to happen, but it turns out it was going to be back-to-back matches. And I was like, oh, that's not fair. John Cena defeated Seth Rollins. John Cena is yet again the United States champion of the world. I have no problem with this. I thought Seth was going to pull it off. The match was I believe that was match of the night.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a really good match.
Yeah, it was really good. almost a Sam Wilson. He was almost here in spirit. John Cena, he's the United champion. United States champion. Do you have a problem with this? Is this good or bad?
I think it's good. Because, John Cena having the U.S. title again opens up more challenges and stuff like that. We'll probably get the best Cena we possibly can get or whatnot with him doing the challenges. Because, it was a great run when he was just having those open challenges over and over again, facing the good workers, so to speak, or whatnot. But it was really fun to see, and I really want that replicated going forward until a new guy, like a new guy, wins the U.S. title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, yeah, I think John Cena is the one that definitely needs to hold that title for a good while. But yeah, the match itself was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was cool.
All right, Mofo, your thoughts on John Cena becoming the United States champion for the fifth time, I believe.
Yeah, Cena wins, LOL. And honestly, it's kind of funny. How can I put this? John Cena totally negating anything that you saw at SummerSlam.
Losing the title. That was because of John Stewart.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the thing. That's the greatest part about it. It's just, why even do that? But okay, sure.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me much.
It doesn't bother me.
You get more open challenges.
Yeah, I like John Cena's U.S. champion. I think it's a good move. It's a good move at all, honestly. But, you know, to me,
well, he can't do it forever. Like, Seth Rollins can't keep both belts forever. Like, either way, he's gonna lose it. And best way to lose it is just lose it now. You don't need it. The main title, the WWE Championship, is the one you really need. Which we could probably segue over to that. Seth Rollins versus the man they call Sting for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Sting tried. He got hurt in the ring, unfortunately, but Seth Rollins, up until then, it was actually pretty decent. Seth Rollins is still the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He defeated the Icon Sting. And then after the match, Sheamus came out, trying to go ahead and cash himself in to become the champion himself. Because Kane, not corporate Kane, Demon Kane, he came out, messed up everything, chokeslam Seth, chokeslam Sheamus. That ended the show in 2015. Tuesday, Mofo, Seth Rollins is still the champ. You got any thoughts on Sting and the injury and Sheamus and Kane?
The match itself was actually pretty good for what it was. It definitely got brutal at a point and you see like Sting taking all these bumps and shit, like, is he gonna fucking get back up? Is he gonna get back up? And you can see that he had like nasty ass bruises all over himself, and that buckle bomb was a killer, apparently. he was down for the count after that for a while. But after a certain point in the match, you could tell, like, he was really trying to push himself to, like, keep going and finish this thing off after that. I remember when he hit the first Scorpion Deathlock. He hit the first one, and when he hit it, you could see that he had a lot of trouble, like, really, like, locking it in.
He didn't even sit down. He was still standing up when he was doing it.
Couldn't. Yeah, so, like, when he got, and then when he broke out, and then when Seth Rollins broke out and he came back, and then he was able to get a better one in. So, like, yeah, you could tell he was really trying to push himself to finish this thing off. But overall, it was a good match, despite all the all the really messed up stuff that happened during. Yeah.
He went through a table, and they didn't even take the monitors off.
I know, because when that happened, I was like, oh, shit, like, he might really hurt himself.
Yeah.
Like, he might have really hurt himself on that thing.
He didn't go, like, through it, like someone put him through it. He just was pushed off the other table, and he just gravity just took
it. Yeah, because, like, it looked like he got kind of, like, hit in the back of the neck with one of the monitors. It just didn't look good at all. It was ugly, but it looked like that whole thing looked dangerous just for the fact that he was an older dude, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully he has a good recovery, after this, and I think he should probably stay away for a while.
Yeah.
They said that
injury might have been it.
Yeah. Like,
that's that neck, man. That's what happened with Edge.
Yeah.
Cause he had to go, and I think Christian had the same thing. I'm not sure. But I know Edge definitely had one. Austin had neck problems also.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Bryan.
Neck
problems. You
know,
he had
that
problem. So it's serious. Yeah, serious thing.
Yeah.
You never know, man. Mofo, your thoughts on Seth Rollins retaining the World Heavyweight Championship?
Thank goodness. I mean, at some point said, I think this was Lita, said that he thought this thing was going to win the title, but they had to call it an audible. I don't think there was any scenario where Sting was winning that belt.
I don't think so.
But
yeah.
Just, man, crazy. like I heard that he got hurt, and I didn't watch the match, so I was just like, oh, he got hurt. Then people were like, his career might be over. He got fucked the fuck up.
That's what people say. I don't know if his career is over. I'm not a doctor. You know, but he is, what, 50-plus? And I thought it was his back. Because he couldn't do the Scorpion Deathlock. But it turned out it was his neck, and I was like, oh, jeez, this is bad.
That looks like some shit you don't want to be a part of.
No.
Right.
I think he should just chillax right now. We don't really need him. He's a special attraction, I guess. Yeah. And just,
as Nino Brown would say, get your $5 ass down before I make change.
Yes, make change. that was the show. I give it a pass. It was more of a, let's see, 7 out of 10?
Yeah, 7. Bad. Yeah, 7. I'll give it 7.
What I've read, you're being kind of nice.
Yeah, 7.
Honestly,
bad.
I think this weekend you could pass on both pay-per-views, to be honest with you. The one on Friday was okay. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, it was pretty good, but a lot of hokey finishes in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just, to me, there's not... I mean, this week in wrestling, you had the GSW TNA Lethal Lockdown match, then the, what is that, All-Star Extravaganza, and Night of the Champions. Not a great week for a professional wrestling thing, but if you want to watch, I guess the best of the three, I didn't see the TNA versus GSW thing, but I guess the best of the three for me, what I saw was, I really liked the, I guess All-Star Extravaganza was really good, had a couple good matches, but, from what I've heard, just this is a pass on everything this weekend. So.
I will give that a 7 also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing too newsworthy besides the ANX reunion coming back. And Jay Lee
retaining
the belts. And the tag titles. And WWE, I mean, Seth Rollins lost the United States title, kept the world title. So, I mean, both pay-per-views, just 7 out of 10. Nothing to break a neck or buy the DVD for, I don't think. But Night of Champions, All-Star Extravaganza. Okay, so what happened on Monday Night Raw that everybody's been talking about? The whole page bomb thing. I didn't see it. I've only read a couple things on it. Doomsday, please fill me in.
I had to actually watch it later. Basically what she was saying, she went through, her own hot pipe bomb type deal. She basically shat on everything, saying, like, oh, this is all bull. The only reason, like, Charlotte's around is because of her dad. Becky's irrelevant third wheel. The Bella twins, the only reason they got where they are is, quote unquote, you know why they are where they are, blah blah blah. She sat on Alicia Fox for being the third wheel too.
Hold on. I think I got it. Yeah. Talking about Charlotte. Charlotte over there clapping. shit. Fighting words right here.
Bitch.
Well, there it is. Alicia Fox being the third wheel, the Bellas wouldn't be there if they wasn't doing you know who. And who's the least relevant person there? It's not Sasha Banks. Notice she didn't say nothing about her.
No. Ain't one none of that.
Right. Stay F away. Y'all heard it. Mofo, you got any thoughts on this? You were pretty pissed off about Becky Lynch.
But the thing is that a lot of it is they are kind of sort of not make, they, I understand that they have like NXT fans that really follow them, but honestly, what did she say that a WWE fan who kind of watches NXT but doesn't really know a lot about it wouldn't agree with? Like, all I know is I see fucking Charlotte and I see Ric Flair's ass pop up out of no goddamn where. The Bellas look like they got there for, look like they are there for a completely different reason. What the fuck does Becky Lynch do? She's becoming that dude on the couch. Like, you ever go to a friend's house and that dude's always sitting there on the couch like in half fake?
No, yeah, okay, I was about to say half-baked as soon as you said the couch.
Right. Like, hey, what are you doing here, man? I live here now. What?
funny story. I actually had a friend I met on Tumblr, and when I first got to his apartment, there was a dude on his couch, and, like, that was literally where that dude slept, and he was always there, just like... Packing his own cigarettes and shit and just chilling out. That shit was fun.
Wow. And then the one of the parts that almost kind of slipped through, she was like, Summer Rae and Lana is over there just not even worried about the Divas Division. They're trying to figure out which guy they're trying to jump on next.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Jesus and Natty, where is you at? You know, we're talking about this revolution. You know where to be found. Because a lot of people brought up Natalya, like, yeah, she should be involved, and she's nowhere to be found. Do you even still work here, is what she said.
And Natalya's like, look at my paycheck, chick.
Yep, exactly. I don't got to do nothing. I don't got to do a damn thing, so you need to watch your breath. Watch that.
Right. I'm on E, chick. I'm on E, bitch.
Bitch. Where you at, pale motherfucker? Yeah, but the, I mean, Paige?
Every season of Total Divas, making money.
Was Paige wrong?
Stop.
Was Paige wrong in anything she said? There's no revolution. The title's going to go right back.
I mean, she was right about the, there's no revolution thing. The only thing that she was wrong about was the Bellas, obviously.
Oh, what? How the reason why they got there, or...
The reason
take the title back, and this is going to be right back where it was.
No. The reason why they are in the position they are, you know, like because of course, like one is married to Daniel Bryan, one is with John Cena. So yeah, there's that. But of course, that's really not the case. But you know,
Becky Lynch. Well,
I'll tell you what, and honestly, Pooty. That's the internet speak, because Doomsday's absolutely right. Internet speak will tell you, internet fans will tell you, that's the reason why they're getting pushed. Let me tell you the reason why they're getting pushed. Have you ever seen a man get told, no, twins, I'm not interested?
Right? They are extremely marketable. That's why.
They're hot fucking twins. Who wrestle? Where do you get that? Where else can you get that?
And people don't like them. Come on, Nikki! Thousand times. I don't like that part. That's the only thing. I won't complain about them ever. It's just that, come on, Nikki! It picks up in the mic so well that it's annoying. You know, every single time. I don't hear Alicia Fox, but I'm damn sure hear Free. You know, but that's my only gripe on them. I don't really care about them. I don't care about New Division. I don't care how long the title's been on somebody. I don't care. They ain't give me a reason to. You know, but if Paige want to go out her way, talk a little shit, talk about some realism to this quote-unquote reality era shit, might as well, you know, put something in there. Make Becky Lynch
What she can also do, she can come back next week and do the whole girl thing and be like, look, guys, I was out of my element.
I was on my period. You know,
want to apologize. Let's go out there and get that tag team match and win for PCB.
Right.
All right, good.
Get your pinkies in there.
Get your pinkies in there. And then Becky say, yeah, because you know what? I'll just start first. Wait, what'd you say, bitch?
Right. You know, women are simple to each other, man.
And that would exactly be how it would work. In the real world, that's how it would go.
Dude, it'll be like, okay, Paige is over there grabbing like one more cookie off the little tray, and Becky Lynch is looking like, do you really think you should eat another one?
Excuse me, bitch?
Exactly. And it's just a big old fist fight. His girls don't know how to act. What about the girls then? You know? And that was just a simple feud. You know, Becky Lynch could be like, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
To, you know, be somebody in this company. You brought me up here for a reason, and here I am, you know? Maybe that'll get them to do something with Becky Lynch. I don't know. Or maybe they should do something with Sasha Banks. I don't know.
No, they don't want those problems.
No. They don't want that.
They got to do something, because she's winning matches.
What are they going to do with Sasha Banks? Let me ask you a better question. What are they going to do with Sasha Banks that'll get by Vince McMahon?
Bleach her skin like Paige? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Let's try that. Shit, Vince will be like something different. I like
You can't tell Vince that she's Mexican because they'll just put a mask on her.
Exactly. Luchador Banks. The boss from El Salvador.
Oh, God. El Boss.
Right, El Boss. See, Trabajador.
El Jefe. El
Jefe.
Yeah. El Patron.
And now you better say something. Don't run your mouth. I'm on E. You know? Don't run your mouth. Let's talk about the checks, bitch. You know?
Making it rain, just.
Basically. So, let's see. I really hope something happens with this. Charlotte better be like, you know what? She ain't gonna talk about my dad like this. You know? I'm Ric Flair's daughter. That'll give us E right there. You know, but hopefully something happens from
this. Arnold, get him.
You know, hopefully something happens from this. They need to stir up something to make us care about the Divas Division, maybe.
Happy, though, that they had Paige do it and not Naomi or Sasha, because that could have went off the cuff on live TV a lot worse.
Oh, hell yeah.
Four times. I when we were listening to it, what was it, 3 minutes? Yeah, 2 minutes long? Oh, no. If it was them, that would need, 30 minutes.
It would have been needed. It would have been having to get censored in it too.
The roof.
And another thing.
Right. Hold on.
But did you see the tweet that Sasha Banks sent out after Charlotte won the Divas Championship? Though.
I think it said, "We did it. You're Ric Flair's daughter."
Yeah, that was one of them. I think that was one that she sent on Monday. But on Sunday, there was a picture on Twitter. It was her, Tamina. It was Team Bad. Her, Tamina, Naomi watching Charlotte win the match.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And then the caption was Team Bad, the story of our lives.
just watching. You know, they could. I ain't even gonna touch that one.
See, that spoke for itself. That's the state of the women's division and how biased it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I ain't even going to touch on that subject because it could go.
I mean, at least they're getting wins, though, because later in the night you'll see. Of course, we might as well go over this now since we're on the subject of Divas, because they, I think what they had, the Brie Bella match, no one cares about that, whatever. But later in the night, Natalya returns, to everyone's surprise, because she's been gone for like how many months?
Returns from where? She get lost check?
Right, I guess he was taking care of Tyson as with his neck injury and all that. I guess.
You still got a chant?
I don't know, man. I ain't even hear, no. The chanting was lukewarm as usual when it comes to Divas match, so it was whatever. But she faced Naomi in a pretty good match, and of course, but it ended with Naomi getting the win after interference from. Tamina and Sasha. So basically Team Bad's complete MO and storyline is that they help each other win. So that's basically it for them. So that's
you
it.
They, make them you can make that happen. You can actually make them successful in that. I mean, if you're going to do that, make them like the Shield. Just
yeah.
Make them come out and just destroy fuckers. So it's like all three of them get like just eat my shit, motherfucker.
Right.
Kiss my shoe.
Kiss my shoe. Both of them.
Kiss my face.
Alright. Kiss my boot.
Kiss him. Kiss my butt. Just
kiss my kid. Oh man, I remember those commercials. Shit. Yo. I forgot about those.
Oh shit. Took it back.
Yo, whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know.
Oh,
alive.
Like...
Oh. Wait. What else happened on Raw? Because that's the only thing I remember. Oh, wait. Seth Rollins got dragged to hell. That's all I keep saying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even care about that. Kane is back.
Rusev teamed with New Day, so it's funny because he's teaming with three guys that he beat up on a weekly basis for, like, 3 or 4 months.
Oh, yeah. Kofi got the business.
Yeah, they all got the business against him. So it was interesting to have them team up and face the Dudleys and Dolph Ziggler. It was an interesting match, I guess. The New Day and Rusev ended up picking up the victory. It was funny for the fact that at some point the trombone was snatched and tossed away from Xavier Woods, and Summer Rae actually caught it out of the blue.
Good job. We're looking out.
Right.
I was like, God damn, she caught it. And then, they got the win, so it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I want to see more tag, more six-man stuff with them and Rusev and stuff like that. That would be actually kind of fun to watch.
All right, you keep it up. They're going to make Rusev start dancing. You know where you can go from there.
I mean, he hangs out with them black folks all the time. He might as well start.
Yeah.
And, but they
have indoctrinated him into their ranks.
New day.
It's a new day
for him, man.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Clap, clap, clap. What? All right. What else? What else? What else? What else? What else? John Cena do an open challenge?
No, he faced Seth Rollins in a rematch for the U.S. title, which Seth Rollins subsequently lost. So I guess that's over and done with. I don't think Seth Rollins is gonna be vying for that title anytime soon after that. So hopefully by next week, the open challenges will probably start up again. So yeah.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
Fine with me. Cena goes back to open challenge and Seth Rollins can go after Kane. Kane.
Kananites.
God damn it.
He got dragged.
He got dragged to hell, y'all. He got dragged to hell. You'll never see Seth Rollins ever.
It was
again.
Funny, the whole dragging to hell thing.
I thought Shane McMahon kicked him in the fire, like, you know.
No. He ain't do that.
Yo, I remember, Shane McMahon, speaking of Shane McMahon, that dude had some of the best feuds in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. Dude had, I remember he had that David and Goliath thing with him and Big Show. And I especially loved him versus Kane and shit. I remember that dumpster. I remember that flaming dumpster. I was like, as a kid, because I was still a kid when that happened. I was like, oh shit, Shane McMahon pushed him in a dumpster of fire. He came.
How's he gonna get out of that?
He's like, he ain't getting out of that. And then Kane shows up again. I'm like, oh shit, no. But yo, Shane McMahon had the best.
I'm sure Robert here could remind me. There was one time, I swear, that WWE did a skit, or they did a scene or something like that, and people were calling the fucking cops. There's this urban legend that people were actually calling the police, saying, I think it was Dusty Rhodes in the back of a trunk or something like that, but they did some type of angle, and people were literally calling the cops, like, hey, I just want to watch TV, and Dusty Rhodes got kidnapped. Like... What do you say to that? Like,
it's like, don't worry about it.
Right.
You just hang up on him.
Right, you gotta call WCW. did Dusty Rhodes get kidnapped? What?
No.
Like, no?
No.
Like, what?
All right. Anything else happen?
Big Show. Apparently, Big Show is supposed to face who? I think he's supposed to face Brock Lesnar in a Hell in a Cell or something like that. I don't know what's going on because Big Show called out Brock Lesnar or whatever on after beating Cesaro yet again. Cesaro, of course, has been taking L's left and right for the past like how many months?
Between him and Owens, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's really messed up. Yeah, that's about it. I don't think there was anything else like productive that really happened.
All right. Anything else wrestling wise y'all want to talk about?
I have a segment after the break and everything, but I mean we'll go from there and everything. But I know, I get it. I know what everybody's gonna tell me. I'm actually excited for the Big Show versus Undertaker at Hell in a Cell.
Big Show against Undertaker?
Is it supposed to be Undertaker?
No, it's Brock Lesnar.
No, not Big Show, excuse me, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, because you know what's weird? Because they were saying, because at first somebody was saying, oh, it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. Then now it's Brock Lesnar versus Big Show. So, like, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on with all this, you know?
Yeah, it's Big Show versus Brock Lesnar at the Madison Square Garden show. That's what's supposed to happen.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But yeah, so it's supposed to be, I believe it's supposed to be Undertaker, Brock, at the Hell in a Cell show, right?
Yeah, they advertised it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But you say you're excited, the mofo? You're excited for this one?
Yeah, I'm actually excited about it, to be honest with you, because I'm actually very much excited about it, because honestly, it's just, to me, very, it's something different for them, I honestly think someone's gonna bleed. And I always think Brock's matches with blood are really, really good. His matches seem to be very much elevated with blood, and he seems, you know, obviously, hopefully Brock wins, but then also we have, going to be a third and final match between them, and Brock apparently is not facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania, so
I'd rather them get it out of the way now.
I might as well fight
at WrestleMania. Get it out of the way. Hell in a Cell is supposed to be blowing off feuds. Supposed to be.
Yeah,
they bled last time. Even Heyman bled last time.
I remember that one. What was that, 2002 or 2003?
I want to say 2002 or 2003. It's probably 2002 because he was just the champion. Brock Lesnar beat The Rock at SummerSlam.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it had to have been 2002, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but that was nasty because he
was all messed up.
Yeah, everybody was bloody. Undertaker had the whole cast thing going on. Yeah, I definitely remember that one vividly. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Come October 25th, they're going to be in California, so should be a nice little crowd there. Mm-hmm. I guess we could talk about the cards.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, we'll start off with Ring of Honor, because they got to do some TV tapings in California, Pennsylvania. California, Pennsylvania.
Same two states.
California, Pennsylvania.
California,
so
Pennsylvania.
Like, so, are they in California or in Pennsylvania?
Which one? Which one?
Onbo Center at Cal U. In Pennsylvania. I swear it's in Pennsylvania. Area code 15419 for those that are trying to go to the show. This is the Reloaded Tour. They're not done. The Women of Honor match, Mandy Leon, the Exotic Goddess, going up against Taylor Hendricks.
That's oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
that's fine. ACH, going up against your boy Caprice Coleman. Gotta get him on the TV taping.
Wait. You just passed by. You should go pass by that like you didn't have. So Mandy Leon versus Taylor Hendricks. Please tell me this is on a TV taping. That's all the TV taping?
Yeah, man.
This has got to be a TV taping show. This is a Reloaded tour.
Reloaded.
I gotta watch that.
All right. You go do that. The
You gotta look, man, when a dumpster's burning, you just don't drive by it. You slowly creep to see what's going on.
You gotta rubberneck it.
Right.
Just
because you passed by the car accident that kept you in a look, like I told you when we were in Philly. Look, if I sit in traffic for an hour, I'm gonna get my money's worth on this car accident. I'm rubbernecking.
Do you think Dave's gonna have a barn burner in the trash?
No, something's burning.
Something's burning.
And it's not just so pleasant.
Something burning in the kitchen.
Jamie Cash is female wrestling crush Taylor Hendricks.
I had to take the picture for him. Well, the last Death Before Dishonor.
Wow.
Yeah, he was what, like 13 seconds away from molesting her, I think.
And right, Mandy Leon going up against Taylor Hendricks. ACH going up against Caprice Coleman. The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian going up against Watanabe and Will Ferrara. I guess Watanabe found his tag team partner, like you said.
Tag team of the year, baby. Tag team of the year.
Yeah, tag team of the year. Moose and War Machine going up against Jay Lethal, Jay Diesel, and Mr. 44, that's me, baby.
44, that's me, baby.
Donovan Dijak in a six-man trios match, whatever you want to call it. A proven ground match. The Kingdom, who are now the new tag team champions, going up against the All Night Express, Kenny King and Red Titus. A match that is taken back in the day, back when they were in the House of Truth, Roderick Strong, going up against Unbreakable Michael Elgin, or Elgin, like how some people still like to say.
Elgin.
And this tag team main event, Jay and Mark Briscoe, going up against Nick and Matt Jackson, the mother freaking Young Bucks. Super kick party again and again. Once they leave California, Pennsylvania, they're going to go to Lockport, New York for their Reloaded Tour Part 2. The match that they got here, another Women of Honor match, Sumi Sakai. Don't know who that is, but it's going up against Aveda Scott. And
he probably, like, Rob probably knows who that person is because, you know, he likes that Joshi shit.
Okay. Pepper Parks is going to be going up against Caprice Coleman. He's there in New York. The All Night Express going up against...
That's actually going to be a very underrated match, by the way.
What? Pepper Parks and Caprice Coleman?
Pepper Parks and Caprice Coleman. I mean, those are two guys who are pretty decent workers. Like, I know we kind of poke fun at them, but those are two guys who are actually pretty good workers. That'll be a decent match.
All Night Express going up against the House of Truth with Donovan Dijak and Jay Diesel.
That's going to be a wash.
Roderick Strong. I know, right? Roderick Strong going up against Watanabe. The Young Bucks going up against War Machine. We'll see if they can super kick those beards off their faces. The Addiction going up against Jay and Mark Briscoe. And Four Corner Survival Match. ACH going up against Moose, your client. Going up against Michael Elgin, Moose's client. Going up against Adam Cole, baby. And I have a feeling who's going to win. I'm going to say Adam Cole. Might as well. And a proven ground match for the Ring of Honor World Championship. The champion, Jay Lethal, going up against former BWO / Flock member and the leader of Right to Censor, Stevie Richards.
Stevie Richards, yo, Stevie Richards.
And they had a video on YouTube where he got interrupted by Jay Lethal, and they had a little scuffle. So I guess they was like, you know what? When you come to my town in New York, I'll see you there, man. See you there. Oh, yeah, Jay Lethal going up against Stevie Richards in a proving ground match.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevie Richards probably could still work. Nothing wrong with him. I like it.
I think, what does he do? I think he does some tech stuff now, nowadays. Like, he does, like, tech reviews and shit like that.
He looked like a techie type deal.
He's a techie guy.
Beyond Wrestling, because I rarely talk about these guys. And I mean to, but I just keep forgetting. But that's not my guy.
Yo, they used to be my shit back in, like, 2012, 2013, man. I've been falling off on them for a while now. I guess ever since their brand has gotten bigger, I've fallen off on them.
Same here. I forget they exist sometimes, but I got it this time. I got
ever
it.
Ever since the first American Rana, I think that's when I start dying down on them. They still do good work.
This is Greatest Rivals Round Robin, and no, Gabe has nothing to do with this. The matches that they have here, basically it's going to be a round robin for most of these matches. It's going to be a round robin challenge between Drew Gulak, Tim Thatcher, Eddie Edwards, and Biff Busick. And they're basically going to have a round robin challenge with those four guys to see who is, going to have the most wins out of them. Open contract. I'm reading the titles now. Man, you might as well think that, Gabe is on here because all of these matches got titles over. Open contract match between the product David Starr going up against whoever wants to face him. For the first time ever, AR Fox going up against Brian Fury. For the first time ever, Ricochet going up against the Juice JT Dunn. And the all caps fucking tag team match, Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee going up against Team Tremendous, Rob's clients of Dan Barry and Bill Kong. And that is going to be on Saturday, but on Sunday, the Power Keg from Beyond Wrestling, they have, let's see here, Battle of New England Challenge Match 1, the Doom Patrol of Chris Dickinson, Mark Lyon, and Xhaka, with Larry Legend. He's going to be there, going up against War Machine, Raven Rowe, and Hampton. Match 2 will be Pinky Sanchez and EYFBO. And Larry Legend is going up against Cam Am Connection, and that is Cam Zagami and Anthony Green, and another tag team, or another mystery partner, whatever the hell. And match 3 is Christina Diamond going up against Alexis Nevaeh. Those are the Battle of New England Challenge matches they have there. Let's see, scheduled to be there with the Dan Barry, Bill Carr, going up as an open contract match. Timothy Thatcher going up against whoever wants to face him. And for the first time ever, Trevor Lee going up against Brian Fury. Not Tekken Brian Fury, unfortunately. Andrew Everett going up against Donovan Dijak for the first time ever. This one is personal. That's what the title was called. The Kingdom, the new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions of Mike Bennett and Matt Caven, going up against Death by Elbow, JT Dunn, and your hero, Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Dream match is Ricochet going up against my client, Shinron. They still have no titles there. I guess they really don't need them. I don't know. But that is Beyond Wrestling. Last show that I have here. At the last minute, I decided to throw this in. This is New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, which is going to happen on September 27th. The matches that they have here. Well, I ain't going to announce that when it's a pre-show match. What is it? A 6-man tag with, Captain New Japan, Juice Robinson, formerly known as CJ Parker, and Manabu Nakanishi.
Okay.
Going up against your boy, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Yuji Nagata.
Old head squad.
Chaos of Beretta, Rocky, Suka Romero, Tomohiro Ishii, and Yoshiashi. Going up against Mascara Dorada, Ryusuke Taguchi, Togi Makabe, and Toma Anma in the 8-man tag. This is another 6-man tag between Hiroshi Tendon, Matt Sydal, and Satoshi Kojima going up against the Bullet Club of Carr Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Kenny Omega. Katsuyori Shibata going up against Tetsuya Naito in a singles match. Bullet Club will be in another six-man tag with the Bullet Club of AJ Styles, Cody Hall, and Tama Tonga going up against Kazuchika Okada, Kazushi, Sakuraba, and Toriano. My clients, Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly defend the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles against Alex Shelley and Kushida, the Time Splitters. They better fight. Talk about Red Dragon, goddamn. Hiroshi Tanahashi going up against Bad Luck Fale. This is the single match for the Tokyo Dome IWGP Heavyweight Championship Challenge match. So basically, whoever wins this will go to the Tokyo Dome. More likely, it's going to be Tanahashi.
Of course. And
for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, the champion Hiroki Goto going up against the former champion, the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah. And, Tuesday, you got any input on any of these matches or the show as a whole?
Not really.
this is just the card. This is just a show.
Okada's in a match, right?
Okada is in a match. Yes, he is. Where is he? I do not know. I did say Okada. Okay, and he's in a Bullet Club match.
Okay.
With Sakuraba and Toriano. And,
okay, gotcha. Because that tag stuff. Oh, yeah, because of course he is.
Okada's six-man tag is an eight-man.
They have a lot of six-man tags in New Japan, a lot. It's crazy. A lot of six-mans. They started to do more like eight-man tags. This morning's Destruction had like, a whole bunch of the older heads, and I think it was like a few of the Young Lions on both sides facing each other and shit, with Shibata and Naito facing each other as part of that tag match. That's another thing that's gonna be interesting, stuff between Shibata and Naito. That stuff's really heating up. That's gonna be cool. But in regards to Okada, there was recent news of him. I think there was an interview of him going around, and one of the questions asked was, since you like working in front of American crowds, could you see yourself leaving Japan and working in America, whether it's for Ring of Honor, WWE, or someone else? And his answer was, I like doing the shows with Ring of Honor, but I don't want to leave Japan. I'm not interested in WWE at all. Many people ask me about WWE and if I'd go to WWE in the future. They ask me if I'm going now. I will not go. I want to make New Japan Pro Wrestling bigger. That's my future. So it's really interesting that, yeah, he's definitely going to make sure that he sees things through, which is good because like New Japan's still on the rise as of late still, with their production and New Japan World and all that other stuff. So it's really good.
Yeah, I see that as a positive. That's good. He doesn't need WWE. I think his New Japan is his.
That's his company. It's his place, man.
Yeah, that's his place.
He's the heir apparent of New Japan. So why would he leave some place that he's going to be like the guy, like the guy in the next 2 years?
Right.
Like he's still like switching off between like him and Tanahashi and Shinsuke, but he will be that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are the cards for this weekend. We'll take a break. We come back, we're going to have Five Star Wrestlers and Mofo Magic's new segment when we return.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rant and Wrestling. Listening to us live on tape delay on rantemradio.com. Real quick, let's just go through this. rantemradio.com. perfect place for you to listen to us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Also listen to us on iTunes or the NNC podcast. And, of course, on Rant EM Radio. That's RANTEMradio.com. Or you can also listen to us, Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Friday night, Tuesday night doubleheader with Freaks and Effing Geeks and The Rant, the Sunday, What Are You Reading comic book show. And I believe actually a little bit of schedule change this week. On Saturday this week, Surfer actually is holding his show. He's doing some type of fall special or anything like that. Also, listen to the Night of the Champions pregame and postgame show and the All-Star Extravaganza pregame show. And, of course, you can also listen to some of our shows on there, as well as one of my favorites, the always great Ring of Honor Roundtable. We'll be doing another one of those very soon. Now, as for me, I have a brand new segment. I have a brand new segment that I have started. A couple weeks ago, I did the WrestleMania Rebook Challenge, and it just didn't get really over that well because I wasn't really able to talk about ideas for 10 to 15 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do another WrestleMania-themed list. We are going to have a random WrestleMania list every week. This week's list is the guy who I believe defines WrestleMania 100%. He is the biggest WrestleMania star ever, and the man who with me is one of the reasons why WrestleMania exists. Your favorite and my horrible racist, Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan, Mr. America, Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, by the way, wrestled at WrestleMania 1, main evented the first 3 WrestleManias and 5 of the first 6, as well as also has a total record of WrestleMania of 8-3-1, having a total of 11 matches. We are going to top 5 my 5 favorite WrestleMania matches of Hulk Hogan. Quite frankly, this is my list. If you disagree with it, please let me know why. I'm always going to. Number 5 on my list is Hulk Hogan with Brutus Beefcake versus Money Inc. at WrestleMania 9, which is actually the tag team title match. Number 4, Hulk Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Still to this day, my second favorite Ultimate Warrior match to his match at WrestleMania 7 with Macho Man Randy Savage. Number 3, Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5. Number 2, it's a horrible match, so I know someone could disagree with me, but one of my favorite matches of all time, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. And my favorite Hulk Hogan WrestleMania match of all time, WrestleMania X8, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, is my favorite Hulk Hogan WrestleMania match of all time. I don't know the fools in there. I did not mention Hulk Hogan versus Mr. McMahon, Hulk Hogan coming out, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper, a couple of other, three more, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy, which should not be on anybody's top 5 list, Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna, which also should not be on anybody's top 5 list, but anybody else, and I know you guys have seen some of them, any problems with my list or anything that I missed that you would have put above what I have in my list?
Man, I would have put that Hulk Hogan Vince McMahon on there. But, you're right. I think Hulk Hogan and The Rock should be number one. I get why you put Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. I mean, at that time, no one has beaten the Giant. No one has beaten him, let alone slam him. You know, and that was the biggest crowd they had yet until, WrestleMania next year, probably. But, yeah, it was a big iconic moment for Hogan. You know, I get it. The match was really slow. But then again, what can you do with a guy that's damn near touching the damn top of the damn dome and it's swole-ass Hulk Hogan? You know, and the other one, I'm not pretty sure with Money Inc. I don't really remember that one. I was a fan of The Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 6. I like that one. That will probably be my top 3 as far as WrestleMania matches involving Hulk Hogan. Would be Vince McMahon versus Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, and The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. That would be for me. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on it?
No, I do not, sir.
You're not that old. Sorry.
I'm not that old. Sorry.
Next week, we will be doing my top five favorite rivalries that ended at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Spoiler alert, you should know what number one is.
Okay. top five WrestleMania matches that ended a rivalry?
Top five rivalries at WrestleMania. So matches that are basically rivalry. Basically, they've faced more than once, or these guys had rivalries and they faced at WrestleMania. By the way, in a future list, top five matches you never know happened at a WrestleMania. On that list will be Randy Orton versus John Cena. Never happened at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, that is true. And they fought each other more than any WrestleMania that's been around, you know. So, yeah. I mean, hey, it's not too late. Talk to good old Vince. Make it happen.
I actually do think that should be a WrestleMania match. I would love for that to be a WrestleMania match. John Cena versus Randy Orton. Like, I know people shit on it, but I think it would be a good WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that'll be pretty nice. All right, guess we'll just do five-star wrestlers then. I'm gonna actually shorten it up because y'all motherfucking scumbag. Pick numbers 1 through 3.
You bitch.
Suck it.
He said one of y'all. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, or 3. And I'll take any number. I don't care.
2.
2? Alright. This is by a guy on Tumblr. Mostly I get Tumblr and Twitter. I need to get some real people out here. Shags is dead. That is on Tumblr. It's SHAGGIS DEAD. Shags is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He sent me some names, and I'm going to tell them to you guys. First name is the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman before? I thought we did Steve Blackman.
No, not that I know of.
I don't know.
I don't remember Steve Blackman.
I don't remember it.
I know my shit has been deleted, but I know we never talked about
him. Yeah, I don't think we talked about him.
Yeah, but I still got them all written down. But Mofo, your thoughts on Steve Blackman?
The only thing I can tell you about Steve Blackman that's different than what I would normally say is there's a story I heard where he was laying on his back. I think this was Val Venus said this. Big Show walks in, and Steve Blackman's on his back, he's stretching or whatever, and the Big Show goes, "You can't knock me down," or something like that. Come up and fight. Blackman, while on his back, sweeps the Big Show off of his ass and actually knocks him down. Yay. And the Big Show goes tumbling on the ground.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's how strong Steve Blackman was. But, I mean, he was just one of those dudes who, I mean, I think he would get a lot more play now. I think people would like him a lot better now than when he was in WWE, because...
More people are into that type of shit nowadays.
Yeah, like when he was in WWE, it was more like a cool... But, remember, he was in WWE during the flips era, where we didn't see moonsaults and shooting star presses and 450s. Like, that was cool shit. So, right. Nowadays, the crowd kind of, excuse the pun, flipped on that, and they're now into the hard kick and the
striking
shots,
yeah,
and stuff
striking,
like that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think he actually was a guy who was really good just in the wrong time. Because I think if he did the same shit now that he was doing, he'd be looking at probably at least Intercontinental title reign, and the internet would be going crazy with how underutilized he is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Dude, say, you got any thoughts on the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman?
Yeah, I thought he was dope. Yeah, he was one of those dudes. It was him, and Ken Shamrock that came around the same time and shit like that. Both of them were doing their whole, Steve Blackman was doing his whole, martial arts stuff. Ken Shamrock was doing the whole MMA. I thought that shit was dope back then. I really liked, Steve Blackman. I liked his match, I remember his match against Shane McMahon, the infamous match where he hit him with the kendo stick. Above the rafter Titantron shit and
fucking fell to his doom.
Yeah. But Steve Blackman was cool. I liked when he brought out the nunchucks and was going off and like
nunchucks, brought out Tonfu.
Dude was like jacked. For a martial arts type dude was jacked as hell.
Right.
He was good. But I really enjoyed him. Yeah, I wish he would have stayed around longer though.
Yeah, my memory is Steve Blackman. Did he finish it like the bro kick or something?
Basically. Yeah, I think it was like a bicycle. Yeah, it was a bicycle kick. Yeah.
But that was his finisher.
His finisher was What was his finisher?
Shit, I don't even know. I just know he was karate dude. We gotta find out what that finisher is. Steve Blackman, he looks like how he acts. If in the ring. And his personality is like, you know, I'm a karate dude, leave me alone. I think that's how he acts in real life.
Yeah, his finisher was definitely a bicycle kick, but he also had, he also used the dragon sleeper, guillotine choke, and the thrust kick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was cool. I think one of my favorite moments with him is, Head Cheese. When he was with Al Snow in like 2000.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Al Snow was being all stupid and funny, and Steve Black was like, dude, just leave me alone. What the fuck is the head cheese? You know? Him just being just so serious all the time. I want him to return in like a Royal Rumble type deal just one time. Just so people think, you know, see who he is. They remember him. Next up is the Lucha Underground champion. Mil Muerte. Doomsday, you go first this time. Your thoughts on Mil Muerte. Mil Muerte.
Mil Muerte, that's the funny thing about him.
Ricky Banderas, whatever you want
like,
to call him.
Yeah, back when he was, what was he in TNA? I forgot what his name was.
Banderas?
Yeah, Judas Macias. Yeah. Like, back when he was Judas Macias, I could give two shits about him. Like, he was an okay character with the whole thing with Abyss and James Mitchell as his father and blah, 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 and all that stuff like that. It was kind of cool, I guess. He's parlayed that and used that whole dark shtick for a while, but, like, when he came out as Mil Muerte, he's like, that was some good stuff, because he was just tearing into dudes. He's like, it's funny how people, like, kind of compare him to Undertaker with the whole death and all that stuff like that. But the funny thing is that, of course, like, both of those guys have two completely different styles, but the gimmicks are sort of the same, but sort of not. But, the whole Mil Muerte's thing as a character is really great. I liked how he, like, rode, like, he was kind of unstoppable at first, but then he died, so to speak, getting taken out by Phoenix, came back to life, and then even got even more dangerous and more lethal and shit like that. It was awesome. Definitely that Lucha Underground championship match was insane for the fact that, like, they both got their shit in, but, Mil Muertes was just a juggernaut, just like completely destroying him. It was really fun to watch. It's just nice to see a dude that's like a juggernaut type dude, but like he can really move. So that's like that element of it's really fun to watch. And then of course him having Katrina and the other guys backing him, that's really awesome. So yeah, I really like that character.
As far as, I don't know much about the whole Judas Macias type deal. I heard he had his chance, and it just didn't really work out like they wanted it to. I like his Mil Muertes character. Like, you have all these other gimmicks before that, but when you get that one and it works really, really well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And he's really, really, like, yoked up and strong and believable as a heel, as a monster heel in Lucha Underground. Yeah. He really is. You know, I think he's worked really well in Lucha, and I think he found his stride, finally. Found his stride. But I think he was in Wrestling Society X also. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and he's old, like, he's an older guy, but his character is really believable, and the grave consequences with the casket match, that was really good.
That was a dope match.
That was dope, you know, but, Mil Muertes, you keep up the good work, man, and Lucha Underground. Mofo, you got any thoughts on Ricky Banderas?
Honestly, nothing else that hasn't been already said. I mean, he's a guy whose gimmick has revived his career, and every wrestler's looking for that. So, you know, I think just the whole thing with the woman and he's intimidating everybody, and just how it works, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Keeping it with the Lucha Underground, this guy has been wrestling for a while. He's known as the Son of Havoc, but I've known him as M-Dog 20, Matt Cross. Back when he had no beard, and he was in Ring of Honor. That was the first time I saw him, and he did the Shooting Star Press, and he did he was the only person I've seen that grabbed the ring post and acted like a flag before dropping the elbow down on some guy. That's a lot of upper body strength. I don't care what anybody says. That's just fucking tough to do. But I think he's a pretty basic wrestler. I don't know much about him and his character, or how, I mean, Sunday Havoc is it's there. He's okay. But, I really like Backstrom. I think he's a really cool wrestler. Mofo, you got any thoughts on the Son of Havoc, M-Dog 20?
Just never really been my cup of tea. I know he's a good wrestler and everything. Just, you know, just a guy who I kind of I like, don't love, I guess. I mean, I'll watch him. I don't have anything bad to say about him. I just don't have anything good either.
Right. Like, there's something missing with him.
Yeah.
And he's been wrestling for a while, you know. But something's missing with him. WWE turned him down, right?
Yeah, they turned him down. Didn't even offer, like, they offered a lot. They offered a few people from that tough enough class, like, contracts after fact. But he wasn't one of them. Like, I think him and, AJ Hirsch and shit like that, those two guys didn't get any type of developmental deal after that, but somehow Cameron did, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. You got any thoughts on the Son of Havoc?
He's all right. Yeah, definitely a dude that, like, he's one of those guys that he's not going to, like, he's definitely somebody that you would want on your roster, but at the same time, you know he's not going to hit some, like, big-time, like, get some big-time position. Because, like, I think he lacks that it factor. The charisma isn't there too much. He definitely works great as a teammate of Ivelisse and Helico. He's one guy that just has something missing. He has a good look. He has a great physique, great moveset, all that shit. But it just doesn't seem like he can be a star. And one thing that's always funny watching him, sometimes the dude is so athletic that he tends to half the shooting stars he does, he tends to overshoot them a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? AIW. He'd be in AIW in some of the matches. You definitely could see, like, yeah, he went a little too much. He had a little too much rotation on it. Because the dude's a gymnast. That was his trade before then. So, of course, he knows how to do some super, super duper flippy shit. So,
right.
It's crazy.
And I've seen a picture of him holding, like, a whole bunch of belts. Almost like how Ultimo Dragon had those, like, what, 7 to 8 belts back in WCW in the day?
Right.
He was holding a whole bunch of belts, and this was recent. But I don't know where he was or when he did it. I just know he had. That's all I can say about him. Next up is the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels. He used to be called the King of the Indies back in the day. Tuesday, you got any thoughts on Christopher Daniels?
I mean, he still gets a shit in, but as of a few years now, he's definitely kind of slowed down. I really fucked with him back in the day, like early, like early TNA, early like earlier ROH and shit like that. But yeah, he's kind of cool. He's definitely one of those dudes that like you're kind of surprised how well he performs for a guy his age, because he's only like a few years younger than like, Big Show, right?
I thought he was older than Big Show.
Oh, he could, yeah, he's around that age.
I think he's in his 40s, no doubt.
But and the thing is that he performs like a guy that's like, what, 35, like 35 or something like that, you know? So like, he's still got a few years left in him. But yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that you'd kind of enjoy in your roster, given a good storyline and shit like that. But he's really, I still kind of enjoy his work. Him teaming with Kazarian was, I felt like that was a godsend to him when he ended up teaming with him in TNA, like, initially. That definitely helped him out and, like, lengthened his stay after that. But, yeah.
Alright, I loved his Fallen Angel gimmick when he came out there with the little, what was it, like a blanket over his head, and he had his hands all out.
Yeah.
And he had that gimmick from head to toe. Like, he had the little thing around his neck, the long little jacket that he had, the glasses, you know, he was just a really great talent. The Angel Swing is one of my favorite things to call, one of my favorite things to see. He had Last Rites. Best moonsault ever, you know.
Whatever.
the Koji Clutch. The guy palm strikes. If you really want to go that deep into it, his match with AJ Styles. You know, and even when they were a tag team, he can do it all. He can talk. He doesn't seem like he aged a little bit enough when he did that whole eyeliner stuff. I was just like, okay. But DNA shit. I liked him in Ring of Honor. He was the shit. Didn't you need to be? You know, like you said, he's older. He slowed down a little bit, but to his own pace. You know, it doesn't seem like he's overdoing anything. You know, he's picking his spots, and he doesn't. And he's not. And he's like one of those older guys that we can say, you know, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing any of his matches. You know, because like you say, an older guy now, like Kane or Big Show, or something like that. You'd be like, I don't want to see them. But you see, Christopher Daniels. Older than those guys, but you'd be like, yeah, I do want to see him.
Yeah.
You know, more than them. But it's, I don't know, to each his own, I guess. Mofo, you got any thoughts on the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels?
Christopher Daniels is you're probably looking at, to me, the, one of the best workers of the new century. It's the guy who's just, he never has been a world champion, and you never knew why. I think he should have been the first heel champion of ROH, and he just reinvents himself. I kind of like the whole addiction character and everything like that with the general and everything. And I mean, he's always going to have a place in a company, especially when built around work rate. So I'm kind of happy that he got his niche in Ring of Honor. So, you know, hopefully one of these days he'll be in the ROH Hall of Fame or the TNA Hall of Fame because he deserves both.
Definitely. And the last five-star wrestler we have here, former hardcore champion, Spark Plug, you like to call him Hardcore Holly, who we brought up maybe a couple weeks ago. Mofo, you got any thoughts on Hardcore Holly?
I'm one of those people that liked Hardcore Holly more after he left the business and looked back on him than he was in it. I think we just shitted on Hardcore Holly because, oh, hey, he broke Brock Lesnar and the whole Pat Capitelli thing. But honestly, yeah. I liked Hardcore Holly. Great dropkick. He was an ass kicker, and he's
beautiful dropkick.
I mean, he as he would put it, he worked snug. And I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I like Hardcore Holly.
Yeah, the whole spark plug deal. I mean, WWF at the time had all those gimmicks. He was basically this race car driver with the long hair, and then all of a sudden he cut it off and started going hardcore, beating people up. How do you like me now? And he had that match with Brock Lesnar. A couple of years, sliced his back up. Man, didn't even care. He was hardcore, you know. And, you know, he just ditched the Bob part. Then he started training dudes. I think, was he on Tough Enough? Was he on the first one?
Oh, was he?
I think he was on a Tough Enough or something. He was training somebody. And you know how he is. Like, he's just a serious dude.
Because I know it was definitely Taz on Tough Enough.
Yeah. Jazz was on there, yeah, but I think I gotta look it up. But he wasn't bad. I liked him. He made a minute against Brock Lesnar. That was pretty nice. Because you're like, whoa, Hardcore Ali against him? What? He's not even a main event guy. But it didn't matter. He was a good worker.
Yeah, yeah. He was he was on season 2 of Tough Enough.
Okay.
That was the,
like, I know that's what
it's that was the one with Jackie Gator. Who else?
Maven?
Kenny King was on that one. Linda Miles, Matt Morgan. Yeah. That was that class.
Okay. All right. You got any thoughts on one Bob Holly Hardcore?
Sparkle? Yeah, I thought he was dope, man. I loved his drop kick. I loved it. It was awesome. I loved that Alabama Slam. I loved that whole what was it? He would drape the guy against the ropes and then kick him in the gut. I loved that. I loved all that shit, man. I was a big Hardcore Holly fan back in the day. I really liked it when he started doing the whole Hardcore Holly like gimmick and shit like that. I thought he was really cool. But yeah, I remember, and I definitely remember that time where he got suplexed. I think he suplexed who was it? I think he suplexed RVD through a table.
Was it Test?
Or was it Test?
It was on ECW. Wasn't it on
the
ECW television?
It was on ECW. Yeah, it was on WWE ECW, and he hit that suplex and cut his back. I was like, oh, good lord, that was some gross stuff right there.
Yeah, that's gotta be painful. Somewhere you can't even freaking reach. But yeah, and it was like a big cut. Like, it wasn't small.
Yeah, that's
that should reach this whole back. You know, that's painful. But yeah, those are the 5-star wrestlers that we got here. Tuesday, I know you gotta catch Empire. It's about to start.
Hell yeah.
Go plug your shit in.
Let me plug my shit. All right, Doomsday 519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter. YouTube, Doomsday Space 519, on that. Also Doomsday Space Gorilla, spelled as in PWG Gorilla, on that one. That's my alternate channel, per se. And Daily Motion, Doomsday 519, but I don't use that, as much anymore. Check out my latest videos. I got a few Lucha Underground themed ones. And I got like this one short vid, Amigos Rock video. That's a little 4-second, little entertaining. That's on YouTube and my Tumblr. So check that shit out. That's it. All right.
And Mofo, you got any plugs, sir?
Nothing that you haven't heard before.
All right. And follow us on Twitter at NSBPodcast. And, hey, we're done. Mofo, please take us home, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your night. Enjoy everything about it. Once again, as always, you're welcome. We will see you next week. But in the meantime, stay live. Not Josh.
See you next week on episode 812.